Novelist Don DeLillo doesn't usually like to talk about his writing. He says most of his novels tend to be elusive and abstract. But he talked about his novel Libra, he says, because Libra is grounded in reality, the assassination of President Kennedy. The book is now out in paperback. DeLillo's novel White Noise won the 1985 American Book Award, and while writing it, DeLillo wrote a non-fiction essay for Rolling Stone about the Kennedy assassination, which drew him into the events of 1963. Although we know the outcome of the story that unfolds in his book, Libra, DeLillo says too much has been left to speculation.
We don't know the details of the story. We don't know what the characters were thinking. We don't know some of the links between characters. These are the gaps I tried to fill in. Beyond that, I think a work of fiction that resolves some of the unanswered questions may be one way for people to soften the edges of their dissatisfaction with the past. There's a sense in which fiction can rescue history from its confusions.
What was it about Lee Harvey Oswald that fascinated you as a writer?
Well, probably the fact that he was an outsider, the fact that he harbored contradictions. He was double-dealing, self-pitying, violent, cruel. But he was also battered by his attempts to make his way in the world. I think he was the classic Libran, at least in theory. He leaned one way, but ended up acting another. He tilted one way, ended up acting another.
In the book, you make him a very sympathetic character, and perhaps that's just because we see him more as a human being than just a figure being shot in a hallway.
Well, that's all it is. I tried to portray the man as completely as I possibly could, and I tried to stay as close to the real Oswald as I understood him to be. If he's sympathetic, perhaps the reader is supplying this emotion. I tried to be as even-handed as possible. Certainly, Oswald is no victim. He's the gunman.
But he also seems, in many ways, allowing himself to be pushed around. You talk about, I get the sense, destiny is a cop-out. You know, if we make that green light, if you get in, then you must act, you must shoot, otherwise you're not destined to do it. That seems to be a thought that goes through Lee Oswald's mind and through Jack Ruby's mind and even some of the CIA characters you've created.
Well, I think there is a strong element of passivity in Oswald's makeup. I think there is a point at which he stopped trying to exert his influence on his immediate surroundings and simply waited for whatever would happen. And I think this may have been an element in his decision to shoot at the president. I think the motivating force was the sheer coincidence of the fact that the president's motorcade would be passing beneath his window, and exactly at the time when he was most likely to be alone on the sixth floor. This must have been a powerful influence on his decision to take his rifle to work that day.
What was the nature of the research that you did? There's a character in your stories, Nicholas Branch, a retired CIA man who's writing a secret history. He talks about being overwhelmed with paper slipping out the door. There are details. There's minutia. Was that Don DeLillo writing this book?
Well, to a limited extent. The main source of my work was the Warren Report, the summary volume and the 26 accompanying volumes of testimony and exhibits. And together they comprise a kind of encyclopedia of daily life. Dental records, postcards, report cards, old newspapers. They're very evocative, not only of the period, the late 50s and early 60s, but of many of the people who are part of the assassination archives.
Well, in many ways, did this make your research as a novelist easier? You didn't have to make up details? I mean, all the details were right there?
Yes. The details did drive the work. They provided a sense of propulsion to my day-to-day routine. There's no doubt about it.
You described the assassination as 7 seconds that broke the back of the century. Could you explain, what did that do for your writing, too, that date in 1963?
In some ways, it's possible that single event made me the kind of writer I turned out to be. Certainly, I was not a fully formed writer at that stage. I was 26 or 27 years old and had only published some short stories in small quarterlies. As time went by and as I began to find my voice as a writer, I began to realize it was something of a dark voice, and that my books had a dark tone. I don't think it's out of the question that the assassination, in part at least, was responsible for this. And so, in a sense, I suppose, Libra is a culmination for me.
You've written or said somewhere that paranoia seems to be the most reasonable approach to life in our times. Do you live your life that way?
No, I'm not paranoid at all. I can't conceive of writing a book about the assassination without recognizing the element of paranoia which seems to have entered our lives as a result of that 7 seconds. What seems missing in the past 25 years is the sense of a coherent reality most of us shared. We seem to have entered a world of paranoia and ambiguity and randomness. A character in the book calls this an aberration in the heartland of the real. Even after all these years, we're not agreed on the number of gunmen, the number of shots, the origin of the shots, the paths the bullets took, the number of wounds on the president's body, and the list goes on and on. Beyond this, I think we've developed a sense of the secret manipulation of history. Documents lost or destroyed, official records sealed for 25 or 50 years, a number of very suggestive murders and suicides.
And what about your private thoughts, sort of in the middle of the night as you were working on the project? Would you begin to dream of these people?
I thought about them all the time. I still think about them, particularly Oswald himself. And he certainly entered my consciousness. I don't think I'll ever get rid of him, really. He's stuck to me for life.
In part of Libra, you describe the intersection that Oswald and Kennedy have, that eventually these lines will cross. Your line seems to have been a third one.
Well, it's odd, but Lee Oswald and I lived 6 or 7 blocks from each other in the Bronx in 1953. He and his mother traveled to New York because his oldest brother, actually his half-brother, was stationed at Ellis Island with the Coast Guard. And so they lived near the Bronx Zoo for about a year at the same time that I lived just a short distance away. He was 13 years old at the time, and I was 16.
So you feel a chronological closeness, a proximity to him?
Not exactly, but the very coincidence gave me a kind of personal nudge toward doing the book.
You seem to want to step aside from the whole literary world of selling and of merchandising books, and you release a book to the world, and then you go back and write in privacy again from within your room. That was one thing that struck me about Oswald. He was always coming back down to one small room, a small closet.
I suppose that's one reason why I was interested in Oswald. He seemed to live his life in small, cramped rooms. And in fact, this is a theme which runs through my work. There seems to be someone confronting himself in a room somewhere in all my novels. And I found it interesting that I would eventually come upon a real person who lived that same kind of pared-down existence I had created for purely fictional characters.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.